Princess Celestia, the Changeling Queen, Chapter 14, Part 2. Sindra returned shortly and took a small bite of the pancake. To say that she was surprised was an understatement. Her eyes boggled as she savored the love in the food, and she glanced at me warily.
Princess, did you do something to the pancakes?
Demanded Sindra, her fork pointed at her plate. I think my eyes twinkled as I grinned at her.
Perhaps I did.
The changeling stared at me.
Wait, what? I mean, Your Highness, how can you transfer and manifest love into physical objects? I thought only changelings could do that.
Said Sindra.
It's a spell of mine.
I lied smoothly before I sighed.
Unfortunately, I can only transfer so much love. I may be able to alleviate your hive's food shortage, but only for a short while.
That wasn't a lie. I did reign as Equestria's ruler for 1,000 years, but raising the sun and the moon had sapped most of the love I gathered. I still had a formidable reserve, but I was loath to use it unless it was an emergency, and I doubted I could feed an entire hive for any extended period of time.
This is true, but we still believe that it shall help convince Chrysalis of our intentions.
Mumbled a voice. I looked over to Luna and saw her trotting up to the picnic cloth.
I thought you were going to sleep for a while, sister.
I remarked. Luna rolled her bleary eyes and sat down at the edge of the cloth.
We have too many questions to ask you and this young changeling.
Growled Luna irritably. I bit my lip and resisted the urge to glance at Sindra, who was undoubtedly cringing. I myself had some questions from my niece that I wished to answer, but some I couldn't ask unless I wanted her to suspect me.
What do you wish to ask, Princess Luna?
Stuttered Sindra.
For what travesty were you really exiled for? You lied to us earlier about your mission to the Dragonlands.
Said Luna coldly. Her voice was strained and weary, but the question seemed to cut through the changeling like a knife.
For what, Princess Luna, can you tell me why you need to know this?
Asked Sindra. As Luna fixed her gaze on Sindra, I felt my skin prickle as the temperature in the hall dropped. I raised an eyebrow wearily at the alicorn, and in hindsight, I did think Sindra's explanation was odd, because changelings generally stayed away from dragons. But even then, I didn't see the point in questioning Sindra about the subject, though.
We wish to know how trustworthy you are, and don't try lying to us, it will not work.
Said the princess. I opened my mouth to reprimand the alicorn, but paused. Luna's insistence for answers had reminded me of my own apprehensions about Sindra's story. 1,000 years ago, under my mother's rule, only severe crimes warranted a death penalty. So what exactly had my sister's daughter done?
Princess, do you know of the 6 commandments of any changeling hive?
Asked Sindra. Of course I knew. Mother had detailed these laws and their purpose to my sisters and I on numerous occasions. But I shook my head while I chuckled inwardly. The clever little changeling was trying to test my knowledge of the changeling race. Truly, she was my sister's daughter. Sindra didn't appear disappointed that I had not fallen for her little trap and continued on.
The first, obey your queen. The second, never deceive your hive mates. The third, all love is to be shared among your hive mates. The fourth, never show your true form in front of any other species. The fifth, anybody that sees your true form must be silenced if possible. And the sixth is to always defend the location of your hive with your lives.
I blinked as I realized why the changeling had been exiled, although I never expected it was for that reason. Sindra's head dropped slightly as she stared at the worn flagstones of the hall. I winced in sympathy as she opened her mouth and forced herself to speak.
I broke the last one, 7 years ago. I was leading a scout party in the Badlands, and we had earlier located tracks and signs of a small flight of young, marauding dragons. My mother wanted to get an idea of where they were, but when my group and I were a mere hour's flight from our hive, we ran right into the dragons. I panicked. I ordered an immediate retreat, but I led my squad right back to my own hive. Before my mother and her chevaliers brought them down, they had ravaged an incubation chamber. There were so many helpless larvae and recovering changelings that were lost because of my mistake. I felt so ashamed that I was willing to kill myself, but Mother, she spared my life. Only for me to betray her now.
The changeling raised her hoof and I tried to stop her. But before Sindra could hit herself, Luna grabbed her hoof. I blinked and stared at the alicorn. Gone was her wariness and suspicion, and instead all I could read from her face was sympathy.
Do not punish thyself any further, young Sindra. We understand the pain that comes with thy mistake.
Luna sighed, suddenly forlorn, her features twisted in self-pity.
After all, we were once Nightmare Moon.
There was more to that statement than Sindra could ever realize. It was a remorse and a despair that only I understood. It pained me that Luna still had not stopped punishing herself for what had happened 1,000 years ago. So I extended my wing over to my adopted sister and drew myself closer to her. Luna didn't refuse my gesture, so I nuzzled her.
Sister, I have forgiven you. But what you have learned from your mistakes will all be for naught if you don't forgive yourself.
I watched Luna's expression closely, until she smiled and shook away the shackles of her guilt.
That goes for you too, Syndra.
I directed the changeling a meaningful glance, and she nodded.
All this unnecessary drama has woken me from my beauty sleep,
groaned a voice. Although I knew it was unbecoming, I rolled my eyes as Bluebud trotted to join us at the picnic blanket. My nephew really could be an insensitive brat on occasion, especially in the mornings.
Nephew, why does that say Syndra's fears are unwarranted?
Demanded Luna, one of her eyebrows arched imperiously.
Because there's a large possibility that Chrysalis will pull us, some may call it a no-show,
explained Blueblood terribly, as he delicately cut out a slice of pancakes. Luna and I glanced at each other. We both knew that it was unlikely that Chrysalis would appear on this day. The fact that she hadn't bothered to negotiate with us before attacking Camelot was a strong indicator, and we had discussed the subject at length while we had wrote the terms of the ceasefire.
What will Equestria, or will you do, if my mother decides to not appear?
Asked Syndra nervously. I sighed.
We will be forced to respond militarily and politically, but we will try not to interfere directly with the changeling race. The army and police will be put on alert, and will be tasked with confronting or arresting any changeling who are caught impersonating a pony. However, they will also be ordered to protect any changeling that will be imprisoned and uphold order. Moreover, anti-infiltration measures to protect important institutions, such as the military, hospitals, and other Equestrian government agencies, will be put into place. Although we do not plan to extend these measures past the protection of our key institutions. The changelings attacked us because they were hungry, so we will not hunt them down because of that.
I hesitated. This was the plan that I had discussed with my military advisors and Luna, but there was another part of my scheme that I had yet to share with any pony.
I will also be taking a tour of Equestria.
I spoke, and Blueblood frowned.
At this time, Auntie? Should you not be in Canterlot overseeing the military preparations?
Equestria is full of mistrust and fear. I must reassure my ponies with my presence. Moreover, it will give me the chance to personally examine the military and civil preparations being enacted throughout Equestria. With the changeling threat, it is all more important that I make sure the chain of command is not compromised,
I pointed out. Far from having appeased my nephew, though, my explanation only appeared to have agitated him.
But, Auntie, tours of this magnitude take months of planning,
protested Blueblood, his hooves flailing wildly in the air, the drop of syrup on his cheek completely forgotten.
Don't worry, Blue, I will be traveling light and fast with only a small entourage,
I said. I smiled to comfort him. Finally, my nephew sighed and turned his attention back to his pancakes. Syndra also seemed appeased. While her jaws were clenched with worry, she seemed far more relaxed than earlier.
And what shall be my task while thou art surveying Equestria, sister?
Asked Luna calmly.
You will be protecting Canterlot and acting as ruler in my stead. I also need you to coordinate our military preparations,
I said. Luna looked warily at me as if she didn't fully trust my judgment. For a moment, I thought she had seen right through me, but the alicorn nodded her assent. Or so I had thought. After breakfast, I had excused myself from the tablecloth to make a pot of black tea. Syndra soon fell asleep after her very long and very emotional day. Blueblood was lazily sprawled out on his lawn chair, and I had just poured the hot water from the kettle into the pot when Luna confronted me. The first notice I had was when a shimmering blue shield surrounded me. My muscles tensed, and I spun around to confront whatever enemy had managed to get past our wards. To my surprise, it was Luna whose horn shone as she completed what appeared to be a privacy ward around the both of us. A scowl warped her normally stoic features, and I felt a twinge of fear as she advanced.
Surely you do not believe that we fell for that excuse, Alternia?
Luna's voice reverberated through the hall like the boom of a bell. Her turquoise eyes were narrowed and unreadable, but I could feel the anger deep in them.
I do not.
I coughed and sighed.
It was not really an excuse. But thou art hiding something from us,
remarked the alicorn scathingly. I blinked. I had noticed that Luna had finally stopped using the thou and thee today, but now it seemed like she had lapsed back into her ancient speech.
I will not deny that, but it's something that I am responsible for,
I replied in a tone that brooked no argument. I braced myself for whatever Luna's response would be, and as she trotted forward, I felt myself tense. Except, the alicorn only set her hoof on my shoulder.
Alternia, thou seest us as thy sister, is that not true?
Asked Luna. I nodded, puzzled at Luna's question.
Then if thou truly sees us as thy sister, then thou should feel comfortable with sharing thy troubles with us,
said Luna. Her voice was quiet, nothing like her loud and brash Royal Canterlot voice. Yet there was steel in that softness. My teeth ground together involuntarily, and I swallowed. I had not expected Luna to play that card. I felt my protective feelings for the alicorn freeze my brain, criticizing me for hiding my schemes from her. I wanted Luna as a sister. But I knew for that to happen, I had to trust her.
You won't tell any pony?
I whispered.
Well, that depends on what thou tells us,
replied Luna. I groaned. It would have to do, I supposed.
There is another reason that I'm going out on a tour now of all times, and with only a light guard. I am trying to lure my sister to attack me.
Silence. Except for Blue Blood snores and Syndra's soft breaths. Luna simply stared at me.
Art thou mad, Alternia? Thou wishes to confront Chrysalis. Dost thou not remember the last time thou fought thy sister?
Rasped Luna, and I blinked, confused. I sensed the emotion in her voice was barely restrained, about to break free. But while I could feel her anger, it wasn't completely directed at me.
I underestimated Chrysalis at the royal wedding, and I am certain that if I purposefully confront my sister on my own terms, that I can end this war earlier. We may not even need a lay siege on Chrysalis's hive if I succeed in luring her out.
I explained.
But what if Chrysalis does not fall for thy trap and sends her assassins?
Demanded Luna. I briefly considered Luna's statement carefully. She did have a point, and I didn't want to die.
The guards will be hoof-picked from my Dragoon Guards ponies, a regiment that you yourself said was comparable to your own Lunar Guard before you became Nightmare Moon. I had them modeled after my own mother's old guard chevaliers, but you do well to remind me of the danger my sister poses. Luckily, I've placed further wards on my regalia that will aid me in battle and teleport me to my chambers in Canterlot when my life is threatened.
Luna frowned in consideration.
Alright, I concede thy guard is sufficient and thy measures are appropriate. However, art thou even sure that thou can defeat Chrysalis? Of course I can!
I said, but deep inside I felt far less confident than my voice suggested. It seems like Luna had realized that too when her glare dug into my skin like a knife.
That is a lie. Thou art afraid of thy sister and her abilities. Alternia, why dost thou put thyself in such a position? Tell us the truth.
A bitter, salty taste flooded my mouth along with a flash of annoyance. I had bit on my lip so hard that I had drawn blood. I turned from Luna and raised my hoof to wipe the blood from my mouth. Yet when I raised my hoof, I saw that it and my entire body was shaking. No matter how hard I tried to wrest for control of my body, I just could not stop the tremors.
I am not afraid.
I whispered. I shut my eyes, exhaled and inhaled, and then let myself see once more. I screamed towards self in my throat as I saw my sister's spear speeding towards me. A sickening crunch crackled through the chamber as the spear had buried itself in my stomach. All the while, pain seared through my stomach. I collapsed onto the ground, unable to move, paralyzed by pain, but as I looked up, I saw her face. Her features that were twisted and triumphant, her eyes dancing devilishly, delighted at my suffering.
Alternia? Alternia!
I blinked. The cool, musty scent of the Everfree Hive disappeared. Chrysalis was gone, and I was in the entrance hall of the Castle of the Royal Pony Sisters. The weight of Luna's cold horseshoes was on my shoulders. The Alicorn was examining me with eyes filled with worry. I glanced to the side to see that Blue Blood and Syndra were still asleep.
Alternia, what happened to thee? Art thou alright?
Asked Luna urgently. I shook my head and fought to keep my breaths under control.
What did I do? Thou froze like a cockatrice had looked thee in the eye and screamed. It was as if thou had been struck through. If we had not earlier placed a ward for privacy, thou would have wakened Syndra and Blue Blood.
Said Luna.
I was just remembering the last time I fought my sister.
I rasped, the image is still fresh in my mind.
If that is so, then thou art willing to admit that thou art terrified of thy sister.
Demanded Luna. A groan escaped from my lips. I was too tired to hide my emotions anymore.
Yes, but Luna, you have to understand, Chrysalis is my responsibility. This situation is partly because of my failures in the past and present. It is my duty to rectify them.
Luna raised a discerning eyebrow.
What did thou say about forgiving thyself? It seems that thou hast fallen into the trap of thy own guilt, Alternia.
My own words thrown right back at me. I allowed myself to chuckle a bit at the irony of the situation.
I know. I have tried to let my anger, my guilt, go, but I cannot. Not so long as my mother's murder continues to escape punishment. I will try to follow my own advice, Luna, but first, I need to defeat Chrysalis.
Luna blinked, perhaps from the tone of finality in my last sentence.
So you also wish to seek vengeance upon my sister?
Inquired Luna warily. I nodded. I couldn't and wouldn't hide my hatred for my sister. Besides, I was pretty sure that Luna was more concerned of whether I was willing to admit that hate.
Well, in that case, let us accompany you on your grand tour,
said the Alicorn in a much more cordial tone. My eyes widened involuntarily.
But we need some pony to oversee affairs in Canterlot. In that case, we suggest the imposition of martial law in Canterlot. You can place General Caesar Salad in the seat of consul, with Enchantress Meringue Le Fay and Captain Vlad Pokey as his co-consuls. Caesar's aligned with you, Vlad with me, and Meringue is a neutral party. They should provide a good balance for governing Canterlot. The rest of the duties that are needed to maintain Equestria can be dealt with as we travel between cities,
said Luna. I found myself nodding along as Luna outlined her scheme. It was a sound plan. However, I was not totally convinced.
Well, what about your sleep schedule? We will probably be working mainly in the day as we meet and inspect the preparations for the war.
I remarked.
We expect it would take a week to readjust to our normal hours of rest after today. So what are a few more weeks of travel? Besides, we do not wish to pass up an opportunity to increase our presence in Equestria. Is that not one of the goals that you wish to achieve?
Said Luna with a cunning smile. I frowned as I pondered the idea. In a battle, Luna would be a deadly ally. Perhaps she was not fully recovered, but she had years of combat experience and had fought Discord herself. Furthermore, during the meeting, she had already shown herself to be an adept strategist. Not to mention, two leaders of Equestria traveling in a lightly guarded convoy would prove to be a very inviting target. However, I wanted to take Chrysalis on my own. The resentment that I held for my sister was still present, as was the sense of guilt that I blamed myself for letting her take this path. These thoughts and feelings had plagued me in years past. Oddly enough, it was my fear that made my decision. My terror that perhaps my sister was stronger than myself reminded me of all I stood to lose. Twilight, her friends, and Equestria were at stake. Luna's presence would alleviate my worry of being interrupted in the upcoming duel and guarantee an Equestrian victory, even if I fell.
Well, I suppose I would like some pony that I can trust to watch my back as I confront my sister.
I admitted with a smile.
And we would be glad to assist you, Alternia.
Declared Luna with a matching smile. Hours later, the sun had set. The moon was high in the sky, and I and Luna waited in the last tower of the castle of the Royal Pony Sisters. The Everfree Forest spread below us.
It does not appear that Chrysalis will appear,
said Luna, her features stoic. The Alicorn seemed to have grown old, weary as if she had witnessed this event too many times. Then again, given Luna's history, it was likely she had seen foolishness like this in bygone times.
Then it is as we feared, Luna.
I spoke solemnly. Blueblood sighed, while Syndra sniffed. The changeling had tried to hold back her tears, but couldn't. I wasn't sure if they were of relief, of not having to face her mother, or despair that the changeling race had lost its chance for peace. As for myself, I gritted my teeth and focused on what had to be done.
Syndra, remember what I promised to do if Chrysalis did not show up?
I asked calmly. All Syndra, Luna, and Blueblood frowned at me in confusion. Finally, Syndra's memory, honed by the prerequisite training all changelings received, widened her eyes.
You said that I will do everything in my power to prevent this war, even if I have to teleport to the Badlands and speak to your mother myself.
Stammered Syndra.
I have to make sure that there is no other option. For Equestria's sake,
I said. Purposefully, I shut out Luna's cry of protest and Blueblood's gasp as golden fire cascaded from my horn and took the shape of a portal. Before any pony could stop me, I stepped forward through the flames. This could end in multiple different ways, but for a peaceful option, I don't think there's a high chance for that. This has a high chance in ending in bloodshed, but not 100%, so we'll see what happens. Now let's get on to our kings and queens of donators. Top donators: TacoCat598, Peter Coulthard, Jay Tinman, Darkside, Gauntlet, and Only One Thing. Zar630, Strix, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Drake Love Dragon, Pastel Skies, Austin Roland, Magazine, CrazyKiller557, Dospo, Madman Stan, Delta Omega, Jack Hedge, RuneScythe9852, Hudson Roman, Stephen Bingham, McDoofus456, Dash of Evergreen, Riney Dragonwolf, Ponyman, Tal Rasha, The Toilet Snake, Sword Brother and Mordred, Ron and Wandering, Random Person Man Guy, Easy, Skyuchia, Leslie Perkett, Jordan Peterson, Crimson Kids NA9, Lightskin, Monster Kitty, Needs a Life, Milan Bihenek, Michael Dale Aramore, and many more royal people. Thank you all so much for watching this video, and live life to the fullest.